Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to conclude our studies on the subject of our marvelous Lord. And we wish to consider two studies. We will combine them together. One study from the Old Testament and one study from the New Testament to conclude this series of meetings. And we're going to put them in their chronological order. We're going to the Old Testament first. We've been announcing this through the series of studies as the Old Testament as last. But we're going to make it first to put it into the chronological order. Now, we read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 17 and verse 7, these words. The psalmist says, "Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against thee." The psalmist here is pleading that the Lord will undertake for them again. He has shown them his loving, marvelous loving kindness on many occasions before, but he pleads that once again that he will show them his loving kindness. Now, I'm going to consider just one example that it will involve both the loving kindness of the Lord in what he does and in what he says. We noticed that they marveled at his power. Those were the subject of the first two studies. And then they marveled at his wisdom. That was the subject of the next two studies. They marveled at his words and they marveled at his power. We're going to combine both in the Old Testament as we consider the marvel of his gracious words. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, Moses is dead. Well, let's read it. I think we can just gain more by reading from the scriptures than from my narration. Chapter 1, verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates." And then in verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." I can imagine that Joshua, many years, Joseph's junior, many years younger than Moses, rather, Joshua, was fearful that he could not follow this mighty man and accomplish what he did. But the Lord is encouraging him. He says in verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest." All right, now in verse 9 we read again, "Have not I commanded thee?" Who is it that's talking to you, Joshua? Joshua's fearful. The Lord says, "I'm talking. Listen up, if you please. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now here we have the encouragement, the marvel of his words. What an effect they had on Joshua. He did. He took over, and he was a mighty man. Now we're not going to compare him with Moses, but he was a mighty man. The first obstacle for the children of Israel entering the promised land to take it over was the mighty city of Jericho. And they were fearful because they didn't realize the encouragement that Joshua had. And the Lord appeared to Joshua and told him what to do, how to lead. And the sixth chapter of Joshua, we have the conquering of that city. It was done by the most unusual means. The ark and the trumpeters compassed the city one day, and they came back into camp. They compassed the city 6 days, and on the seventh day, as you will remember, they encompassed the city seven times. They went around the city seven times. And on the seventh time, at a given signal, they all shouted, and they blew the trumpets together, and there was a great crash. The walls of Jericho fell flat. Now, we have the marvel of his words in Joshua chapter 1, but we have the marvel of his power in Joshua chapter 6. Those walls fell flat. They conquered Jericho with no difficulty whatsoever. God manifested his power. Marvelous, isn't it? Well, that's the kind of God we have. He had to remind Joshua in chapter 1, "Have not I commanded thee?" Who is it talking to you? It's our Lord himself. And he gives Joshua a mighty victory. Now, in following this chronological order, let's turn to the New Testament. What are we going to find out in the New Testament? Well, we'll turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 4. And we'll read there about our Lord Jesus, again, Joshua's captain, incidentally, verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the prophecy," the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah as it's called in the Greek. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" All that was written in that wonderful 60th chapter of Isaiah, they were fulfilled. And then we read in verse 22, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" Now, I will admit that the word gracious is not marvelous, but it has exactly the same meaning. It's not the gracious words are indeed, they wondered at them. And wondering is the same as marveling. But they were gracious words. Oh, those verses, we will not take the time to pause on them. But they marveled at the words. And then, in the seventh chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, at the Feast of Tabernacles, our Lord Jesus Christ came up to minister the word. He was in the ill favor of the priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. And they wanted to capture him. And they sent a contingent of soldiers to capture him there in the temple. Well, the soldiers came. And the people were there, and they did not want to cause a riot. He was teaching, and they waited for him to get through. But they were so spellbound at his marvelous words that they forgot what they were sent for. They didn't arrest him. They went back to the scribes, the Pharisees, the ones that sent them, and they said, "Well, where is he?" And they said, they didn't say this. And they said, "Never a man spake like this man." They were absolutely marveled. They couldn't get over it. They forgot their mission. They did not capture him. They marveled at his words. Now, how about his power as is manifested in the New Testament? I think that probably we'll have to see that Christ's mighty power was manifested in his resurrection. We've already talked about the power of his miracles. We're not going to repeat that. We're going to just repeat the mighty power of his resurrection. In John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, we read there, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." He had power over death. Now, people had been raised from the dead before, but always to return to their same bodies and to die again. His resurrection was different. He rose again, never to be subject to death. And here he is. He's promising that he's going to raise from the dead by his own power. His resurrection was proof positive that our sins are gone. Christ died for our sins on the cross. Your sins and my sins on that cross, they were placed on Christ. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement, our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes were healed. Our Lord Jesus bore our iniquities on the cross of Calvary. Now his resurrection was proof that they were gone. And they were placed on Christ when he was on the cross. Now if they had not been taken away, could he have gone back into heaven, still bearing those sins? Of course not. They are proof positive. His resurrection is proof positive that our sins are gone. His resurrection was joy to his apostles. In John chapter 20, they were gathered in the upper room. They were fearful. Their hopes had been dashed. They were just in the basement of all their emotions. And the Lord appeared to them after his resurrection. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The cause, the Jewish cause, was not lost. The Messiah was alive. Oh, the power and the joy that resurrection brought. His resurrection brought hope and joy, and it brings it all to all mankind that will believe on him. I'm going to see the Lord. He's promised to come again, and I'm going to see him in the glory. And for all who will trust him, believe that he died for our sins on that cross, put their trust in him, looking to him alone for salvation, making him a 100% Savior, they will see him again because he manifested his power in the resurrection. Our Father, we pray today that you will just use the scriptures to bring joy to our heart, that we may do a little wondering, that we may do a little marveling at the power and the wisdom of our Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.